Good evening. I'd like to welcome everybody that came out tonight in this nice summer day to attend the Committee of the Whole meeting of the Eastern Lancaster County School District. There's people standing back. There's seats in the front here. It's not like church. You can come to the front here, you know. So just wanted to tell you, there's room up front here if you'd like to sit. All right, at this time, we'll have a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. I have a few housekeeping things here to announce before we get into the meeting tonight. Citizens' comments. We allow up to 5 minutes for citizens' comments. Justin will be timing. When you get to 4 minutes, he'll stick up a four. And when you're at five, that's when you should scale it back to going on. With citizens' comments, it's the option of any board member if they would like to question any of the people that have addressed the board, and the same with the administration. However, all of us are available after the board meeting to come up and talk to us personally, administration and the board members. And if there's a need, the administration is always available for you to come into their office to discuss whatever issue you might have at a further level. I have one statement to read here tonight before we get started, and Vice President Buck will also have something to read. It's regarding critical race theory. The district continues to state that it does, teach that curriculum. It is a curriculum designed to provoke an upper level university courses, not to K-12 public schools. The district does not have and has not purchased it. It has not downloaded it for free. It is not part of the written curriculum. As a result, if a teacher conducts a questionable activity or makes a questionable statement, that information should be shared with the building principal immediately so they can be properly investigated or evaluated just as it always has been. And that's my statement, and Mr. Buck.
Thank you, President Wetzel. While I believe that teachers have a level of autonomy to teach within their approved curriculum and they have a right to talk about current cultural issues such as CRT, there's a difference between teaching about them as a worldview and teaching any of them as the proper and true worldview. It is not the job of our district to indoctrinate any children into a specific worldview. We don't force our students to join a specific religion, and so we should not set ourselves up to be an institution of double standards. Our learners must be educated, but they must also be free thinkers to choose their own paths. They should not be shoved onto paths, but I do believe they should be shown them so they can make informed decisions for themselves. So my encouragement to the educators would be that they not teach CRT or any other worldview as an absolute truth in the classroom.
I'd just like to have one correction there. The district continues to state that it does not teach that curriculum. That was I thought when I read that didn't sound quite right, so not to lead anybody astray and get anybody's blood pressure up in here tonight. So thank you for that. One other change, we will have a special presentation by the IU about the superintendent searches, but we also are moving the personnel report up before citizens' comments, so any of the new hires can, if they have a ways to travel, can get out of here early tonight. With that, I turn it over to Brian Barnhart.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Thank you for having us. My name is Brian Barnhart. I'm the executive director at IU13, and this is Matthew Stem. He's the assistant executive director. So we're here to talk about superintendent search. Before we do, I want to thank you for the opportunity. It's a privilege. We are an education service agency. Our mission is to serve you, along with our 22 other districts, including Octorara. That's why there's 23. But that's what we do. We serve. And so our goal is to stand alongside of you as you go through this process. I'm thankful to Dr. Hollister for the great way he's led the district and continues to, and for Keith and Nadine and the relationship that we have have with them at the IU. So it's a privilege to be here tonight. And I also want to thank Mr. Irvin. He's your board representative on our IU board. He's faithful to us and very loyal to us. And so we appreciate and support his support. So tonight, just to take a few minutes, we provide searches. We started this about 4 years ago, something I wanted to do, and we have done 7 superintendent searches to date. We've done the Lancaster County CTC. We've done a couple principal searches. So in addition to that, I've been searching for candidates my entire career. I've been an administrator for a long, long time. I was at Lampeter Strasburg for quite a while. Now I'm with the IU on my 15th year. So collectively, Mr. Stem, who is recently fresh from the Department of Ed for the past 6 years as the Deputy Secretary for Elementary and Secondary Ed, his statewide networks, my own, I'm recently president of all of the IUs across the Commonwealth, and Mr. Steinauer, our Director of Human Resources, who couldn't be with us tonight. He's also the Executive Director of PASPA, the Pennsylvania School Personnel Administration. So collectively, we either know everyone who will apply for your position or know somebody who knows them, right? We bring that kind of presence and knowledge of the space to you. So we've had really great success. We provide a comprehensive search. And let me start off by saying it's free to you. It's a value add that we provide to each of our 22 districts in Lancaster and Lebanon counties if they have a search. And whether you choose us or not in the long run, I want to state emphatically that we'll continue to serve you. We'll come alongside whoever you do choose to do the search and assist them in any way possible and help the new superintendent. That's what we do. We try and approach all of our work through a servant's heart, quite frankly. It's meaningful to us. We get jazzed in helping serve you. So a comprehensive search. If you turn to the inside of the little folder that I gave you, you can get a glance at what we do. The first thing we would do is assure you that we'll work with you every step of the way. We won't get out in front of you without meeting conditions of satisfaction both for you and for us. So we'll get together with your tech director, and we will establish a portal for you. It'll look just like your website, and it'll be a clearinghouse for the search. Every candidate who wants to come and apply would apply through that portal. They can download applications. At the portal, they'll see the highlights of the Eastern Lancaster County region and school district, and we'll feature things that your administration wants featured. We'll look to the community. So we'll give a broad perspective to candidates of the region. It'll all be on their one-stop shop. That website then feeds to Mr. Steinauer, myself, Mr. Stem, where we will get the candidates, and we will prepare all the documents and make sure I's are dotted and T's are crossed and background checks are there so that we will bring you the list of candidates. We don't screen them in terms of selecting them. That's your job. We present and organize and make your job efficient. Because you spend many nights here in meetings, I get it, and this is going to be more meetings and times interviewing. So we provide everything really efficiently for you. We will, if you do select us right away, we'll want to get together with you as a board to lay down the logistics and the expectations that we have clear understanding. We'll create a decision log and share the decisions that we make so we have our marching orders and we stay in our lane, so to speak. We also consider the search a confidential one. We recommend that it's the board who conducts the search. Now, we do give you methods to hear from your community on it. I see by tonight community input is really important to you. So we offer to come and do either town halls where we listen and get information from your community about what they want in a superintendent, or we've been doing it under COVID through electronic surveys. So everyone has an opportunity to speak into the qualities that they want in your next superintendent. And then the three of us, we analyze those results, create themes for you, and bring them back and share with the board so you hear. And then we help you devise questions that will attack those areas of concern. That document also is good, if you so choose to do it, in helping set up initial goals for a superintendent coming into the district that can see areas that are of concern. We will handle all emails, questions of candidates that they have about the process on your behalf. But again, when it comes down to narrowing the initial field, that's your job, and we'll help you do it in a really efficient way. When it comes down to evaluating interviews and moving people on to the next round, that's your job. But we stand with you and give you proven methods to help you do it really well. So we arrange all the logistics for the interviews. Again, we suggest this be a really confidential search, just with the board. That will ensure you the best candidates. Because I'm going to tell you, in the field right now, in the space, there's really a dearth of quality candidates. I mean, our typical search is, you know, we'll get 20, 25 candidate applications, but there aren't 20 or 25 that are worth pursuing. It's a very limited number. And you don't often get many new names on the list. It's a lot of folks who are looking either to move on to a bigger school or try and get a fresh start. There are a few on occasion that are new. And I don't think you should settle. I mean, this is an outstanding school district, and I think there will be people who will want to come here for sure. I don't know that the list will be that many. Your best candidate is always the one you got, right? Cheapest car to drive is the one you have, but the best superintendent you have are the people that you have and who know your district really well. So we'll work through that and get the candidates for you. We advertise through our networks. We use, if you so choose, the Pennsylvania School Boards Association. There's a fee associated with that. Any advertising costs that we incur, we'd actually pass to you. That would be the only funds. But we find most districts choose all of our no-cost advertisements. We, I'm still working with aspiring superintendents in grad school, and we have colleges and universities, and we use the PennLink system and get it out to every district. We've had no problem attracting a dearth of, a good list of candidates through our non-paying advertisements. Sometimes boards want to go and do a national search, and it's very costly to advertise across the nation in newspapers, and quite frankly, those few who have done, they generally hire somebody from within the Commonwealth, or the immediate region, those sorts of things. We'll go as far as once you're down to the final few, we'll do the entire background check for you, very thorough, more than just what a candidate gives us. We will, if you so desire, work with your solicitor to help get you the contract. And, FLIP brings in a regional and Commonwealth knowledge of what the going rates are based on experiences. We'll help you out in that regard. It really comes down to this. We seek to serve you and to help you make this process as seamless and efficient as it can be. We don't want to see Dr. Hollister go, but we're going to help you get somebody to come right in. So that's, Matt, am I missing anything? I took the liberty of giving you a proposed schedule just so you can see some timing. Early on, we thought, I read that it was as late as March, maybe the final date. So this is what a calendar looks like to get somebody in place by March. It would be a January appointment for you because most people in mid-year are going to have a 60-day hold in their district. And so we could get somebody, we think, by mid-March, ready to go for you. The other consideration that you might have to make as a board is, do you want somebody to start mid-March, or do you want to wait and get somebody to start July 1? And that might attract a wider candidate pool. But those are some things we could decide once you decide who's going to do the search on your behalf.
Dr. Barnhart, if I could interrupt for a second.
Yes, sir.
Give yourself a chance to catch your breath. Board members, if you have questions, now's the time. My recommendation would be to discuss this either now or next week at the regular board meeting. But I would suggest if you're going to move this way in the process that you get started as soon as possible. Everything always takes longer than you think. As Dr. Barnhart astutely noted, if you do go outside, someone may have a hold on them, which delays the process. So while it seems like a long time, 6 months, that 6 months will go rapidly. And, I encourage the board to move as quickly as possible. So my recommendation would be that the board take action one way or the other next week, either to move forward with this service or to potentially explore if there's another one that the board would like to use. So I think an action next week, one way or the other, is most advisable.
All right, thank you, Dr. Halster. Any questions from the board?
Either way, yeah. We wish you the best in your search.
Well, thank you for your presentation.
Thank you. And have a great night, everybody. Yep, thanks.
And you. All right, Nadine.
Yes, we have a personnel report, and we have several new candidates that we are hoping you will approve this evening. I'll start with Heather Schrantz.
Good evening. I'd like to introduce you to Jenica Zook. She is going to be joining the Blue Ball team as a third grade teacher. So Jenica, to give a little background knowledge, is a Lancaster Bible grad, and she has actually been teaching about the last 6 years in some of our local private schools. But her family lives in Mannheim Township. She has three little boys who are 1, 4, and 6, so she's a super busy mom, and her husband is a pastor at one of the local churches. But she joins us tonight with her mentor, Dawn Mergenthaler, and Jenna, of course, is here with our Blue Ball team. So, Jenica.
I guess you were warned about President Wentzel here.
We did give her some hints.
So she gave a little hint. So yeah, if you could just expand where you went to high school and a little if you did any extracurricular activities in high school or anything like that.
Sure. So I graduated from Donegal High School. So I'm a Donegal grad. I really enjoy being creative. I like to do a lot of DIY things, so you'll see that in my classroom. I loved the arts when I was in school, so that is definitely something that I will be bringing to my classroom and this district as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And then we have Tim Moll from Brecknock.
Hello. Just want to take a moment to introduce Nash Hesel. He's a graduate from Westchester University. At Westchester, he was in a variety of ensembles, including wind band, symphony orchestra, choirs, and college-level marching band. And we are looking to hire him as our elementary music teacher at Brecknock. He spent the last semester at Westchester University student teaching in schools in the Bristol Township School District. He taught concert band AP Music Theory at the Harry Truman High School, grades 9 to 12, as well as online general music at Keystone Elementary Schools for grades K to 5 during the COVID pandemic. He spent last year, 2020-2021 school year, as a long-term sub music teacher at Green Ridge Elementary School in Cumberland Valley, where he taught general music for grades 1 to 5. And I did tell him about the two questions. Hometown and hobbies.
Yes,
so.
Yes. Go ahead. I'm getting too well known here. I have to switch it up here a little.
Hi, thank you. I graduated from Pensbury High School in Fairless Hills, Pennsylvania. Probably will come as no surprise, but as a music teacher, I was very involved in the music program, as well as the marching band and concert band and symphony orchestras. I carried all that throughout my time at Westchester as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
You will see a method to my madness when I'm planning on coming to when the new teachers report on August the 17th, and when I give a little presentation to you, you'll understand why I'm doing this a little bit better. So, all right, is any more in the personnel report?
That's it for this week.
Okay. Well, do I have a motion to approve the personnel report?
So moved.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Properly moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All right. Hearing none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Congratulations. I think Dr. Hollister usually has a comment here, so.
I do. I'll pipe in. Thank you. First of all, I apologize for not being in the room with all you folks. I really do. I'm coming off a bout of COVID, and while I'm cleared, I still just don't trust being around other people, and in particular, Dr. Larkin and Mr. Ramsey didn't want me sitting next to them for a couple hours. So I'm in my office, and I assume that's because of COVID, but maybe it's something else. But the new folks, congratulations. You're joining a great team. Weather issues aside, meaning the COVID stuff that's really kind of crippling everyone right now, But that aside, it's a great school district. I'm so proud of the team that we have and all that we've accomplished. Really good good achievement with low taxes. So it's a well-run organization, and you're joining a great team. I encourage all of you to print out the board agenda, especially the personnel report, and put that in your scrapbook, your professional scrapbook, because it really is an important moment for you. So welcome aboard, and we're glad to have you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hollister. All right, we move along to citizens' comments. And as I stated, the things we try to abide by when we give them. The first person we have for this evening is Chris Buck. Chris, will you come forward? And then would Rhonda Noel, will she be ready to come forward next? And then please state your name and address.
All right, good evening. Chris Buck from East Earl, Pennsylvania. Wanted to, first of all, actually thank you for reading the statements that you both did regarding CRT as a high school socialized teacher and curriculum leader in another district. I appreciate that statement and that it won't be taught here. It is morally wrong to teach it as a truth, not wrong to teach it. Is part of the cultural vernacular now, and our students need to be informed. But I do appreciate those no uncertain terms that it won't be tolerated here. I have four kids in this district. That's important to me. So I appreciate that. But more on to why I'm really speaking to you here is that I do want to, and I don't normally do this, but I do want to just express some displeasure more with how the health and safety plan was developed. Not that the actual plan itself, but just the development of it. PDE gave us local development. Like, it's remarkable. They said, you local districts, you make up the plan that you want to and involve community input, like, significantly. Stakeholders need to be included in this. And the district that I did that, sent out thousands of surveys. Very easy. Google survey. Here's the health plan. Here's like a 8-question survey. We want to hear your input on this. I know I just saw on WGAL, Ephrata did that. That should have been the expectation. I was waiting for ours here, and it never came. And I realize that this is more of an administrative thing and not the school board, but I am supposed to address you guys. So I would love to hear actually from administration tonight, and Dr. Hollister, I wish you well in your recovery, but I do appreciate you attending. I would love to hear from administration tonight as to why community input was not prioritized. There is not a single scholarly article in public administration that you could find in the past 50 years that would support that decision. Every administration, every piece of administrative scholarly research would say that was the wrong decision. And more importantly, I think just from my roles in the community and volunteer work that I do and what I've been hearing from people, more importantly, the community thinks that was the wrong decision as well. And maybe people will disagree with me here, maybe we'll hear that later on, but I severely doubt it. And I don't think that there was any nefarious intention involved with that. I really don't. I'm not placing that on administration here, but that was a mistake. And so I just want to set the kind of the tone that in this district, and I don't care what other districts do, like that doesn't matter to me one bit. This is Elanco. Our cultural expectations here is that we are included, and I don't expect us to be micromanaging you. I realize that with administration, there's a lot to do, and this is just another mandate coming down. I realize that, and I appreciate that, and we don't need to be involved in every single thing, but this is a big thing. Like this, like understanding the significance and the current climate of what's been happening over the past year and a half, to not receive a survey regarding how my kids are going to be interacting with their teachers and with their peers in the school and what the protocols are going to be. And if I have to worry about the stress of being shut down again and my kids being quarantined again and wearing masks again, and I realize a lot of this is out of your control, but like we should have been offered input. And so that's all I want to say. I do appreciate all the work that all of you are doing during these very, very difficult times. So I don't want to end on a negative note. I am praying for all of you board members, all of you administrators, and I appreciate what this district does for my family. I just want to, though, state what I just did and reaffirm that we should be included in important decisions like that, and that was, unfortunately, in this case, the wrong method of developing a plan.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. Priscilla Eberle will be after Rhonda.
Hi, I'm Rhonda Noel, and I live in Brucknock Township in Bowmansville. I have three children in the school district, technically. Two of those are going to be homeschooled this year. All three were last year, but my oldest one went back to the high school in February. This was a very hard decision for us to make, but she does have some special needs, and we felt that she needed the additional help that's available through the Life Skills Program. But academically, I have huge concerns. What happened to teaching history and civics to our students? My seventh grader at home did an entire quarter of study on the Constitution. I dare say she learned more in that 9 weeks than our public school students are learning all of their 12 years of school. Why did we need to bring CRT into the mix? What purpose does it serve? It only causes division and hatred among our kids. Children are not born racist, it is taught. Let me give a personal example. As I said, I have three children. My children are biracial, and they are biologically mine. I have been asked countless times, when out without their dad, if they are adopted. I've never taken offense to that. I completely understand why they ask that. I have never, ever told my children they should expect to be treated differently because of their skin color. It is a non-issue. My concern is with their character and how they treat others. I have never heard them say they feel they have been treated differently because of their skin color. Kids are cruel enough on their own. Why should we be feeding more division and hatred into their heads with CRT? Can we get back to teaching them the real history of our country and the principles we have been founded on? The principles of freedom and that all people are created equal with God-given rights and freedoms? Which leads me to the next concern that I have. That being the masking of our kids. This is nothing short of a crime. There is absolutely no constitutional right given to schools or any organization, be it the CDC, the WHO, or the NIH, to force our kids to wear a mask. The full scope of the damage it is causing will only be realized in years to come, though there are evidences that are already seen. The depression, isolation, and suicide among our young people has gone to insane levels over the last year and a half. Are we concerned about this? All of this for a virus that has less than a 0.4% chance of causing death in our kids? A virus that is no more than a flu or a common cold to the average person? Have we collectively lost our minds? Where is the sense in this? Even putting aside how unconstitutional it is, it makes no common sense. It is time that we get back to teaching our kids the facts of the history of this great country, the USA, and do it with them being unmasked and unvaccinated, if that is what the parents choose. And let me remind you, it is the parents' choice and responsibility, not yours or any of the alphabet agencies. Thank you.
Thank you. Priscilla, followed by Dave Horston.
Hi, my name is Priscilla Eberle. I'm in Brucknock Township. I have two kids, actually, in the township. I first want to share a concern that I had last year. My son, who's in fifth grade, and he went in and he was developing headaches from wearing a mask, and he had put it down under his nose. And the teachers were asking, and which he always had to keep it above his nose, were asking, so what do you think of the school year? And he didn't use the right terms. He said, well, I think it sucks, which he shouldn't have said, not choice of words, okay? And the teacher said, wow, I can't believe you said that you don't want to protect me. And she turned around to the classroom and said, isn't that a shame that you won't protect us? Okay, that's number one. Number two, on this plan, I read it on August the 2nd, the guidance that was up on the website. And on it, it said that was approved on the 21st, that the district will follow the guidance of the CDC on mask wearing, along with the other nonsense, and will promote vaccinations through faculty, directors, and community. So I'm asking, did the board all vote for this nonsense? Because if that's a yes, you just signed us up to go through all of this again. Guidance is a suggestion, okay? But by you agreeing with it, it's a mandate in order to fulfill your safety plan. The decision does not follow the law because it's guidance, okay? We voted to get rid of emergency orders and to bring these decisions to the legislature. Parents will not be happy with this and tolerate this again. So I'm just saying, our kids, I went to another school district for a meeting. It was Ephrata and it was Cacalico. And they were so thankful that they had local control again. And they talked about how far behind the kids were, the pre-K kids, on their learning. They didn't know how to socialize, how they had problems with suicide and things like that. So I'm just saying, we just need to take a look at that. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Priscilla. I believe Dave Horst is next, followed by Paula Matters.
Did you say Jacinda?
If she wants to. Dave, you're next.
Okay. Good evening. David Horst. I live at 1186 East Earl Road. Along with the COVID thing that people have been talking about, my family doctor has gone from many different states helping during the COVID pandemic, and he treated over 3,000 people. He lost zero. He treated people as old as 90 with pre-existing conditions, and he didn't lose anybody. I gave President Wenzel, Tom, the information. He would love to. He lives in Morgantown. Well, his practice is in Morgantown, so he's close. I'm sure he would love to come and answer questions for you folks if you're interested. He will not treat students, children, if they come into his office with masks on because he said they don't work. Children don't get the virus anyway. And he considers it child abuse, just so you know. But he would be glad to come and answer questions. He'd even come and, if you had a parents' night, that you could, he could answer questions and inform them. If you choose to go unmasked while you're doing that, he would be a great asset in that. Something else, last month I had said about the one student that was in the government class, and he thought he was the only one that, when the teacher asked at the end of the class to raise their hand, that he was the only one that didn't, in reference to if they thought our Constitution should be done away with. After that meeting, a friend of mine came up to me and said this past school year, their child was in a class, and they were not permitted to use Fox News as a source. The teacher said it's fake news. You may not use Fox, but you can use all the liberal stations, NPR, ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, all those are legal. Fox News was not. So it is here. The teachers are pushing some of them, not all of them. Most of them are great. But there are teachers that you need to sort through and keep an eye on, because coming out of college, they come with an agenda. Most of them, they're taught it. And they think it's their job to teach it to us and our children. So I hope you take it serious and go after and at least keep them in check. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Jacinda Martin. Is that how you say it? I butcher names a lot, so no, don't take an offense.
One of the gentlemen in the back said if we could make sure we're up against the mics to hear.
Okay.
So I'm just going to state that.
That's good.
If somebody speaks. Yeah. So my name is Jacinda Martin, and I'm from Carnarvon Township. I'm a parent to four children. One graduated this past year, and three currently spread in elementary, middle, and high school. I have volunteered in the district for 13 years and love serving students and teachers. I decided very long time ago that if my kids were going to be in this district, I was going to be in the schools as well. One of the things in the last year, of course, with all the protocols, volunteers were not allowed in the buildings. So I am very excited to hear plans to get those volunteers back in and those parents back in, because the kids really miss the volunteers as well. The past two school years have been difficult while we sorted through health and mental challenges in our family, from quarantine to I lost track how many times our kids were thrown out of school. We are choosing what to hold on to and what to leave in our memory as lessons learned and moved into a new year. Tonight, there's a vote on the ESSER health and safety plan taken into consideration. So my public comments on that are, on A, it's the mask. And I'll remind you again, there is absolutely no declaration of emergency in Pennsylvania. We all had a voice and we could vote on that. And I would question on how much authority the CDC or the Department of Health have since we took that vote. Masks, as a fun fact, do not prevent kids from picking boogies and eating them, folks. their masks, they still get around them. Masking on the buses, let's think about that. If I step onto a public school bus without authorization, it is a felony. So, does that make it public or private transportation? I believe it is private transportation. And if you are going on the grounds of Washington stating public transportation, I think you need to look at that. As far as hand washing and things like that, I think schools need to be able to provide hand washing before lunches in their homerooms if it's going to be in homerooms again. But homerooms only have cold water. Let's talk about sanitation. Those wipe containers, they grow mold. I do know there was a student within the school performed a test before or after the wipes were used. What grew more bacteria after the wipes were used? Let's look into that. Isolation and quarantine, let's not. Let's talk about mental health. Where are all the extra counselors for these Olenko students? Personally, struggled majorly in our home. All ages. I asked my 9-year-old before I came tonight, what do you want it to look like? All she said was, I want to be able to hug my teacher and my classmates. Yeah, let's get back to normal and showing each other that we care about them. So for the test and everything that you need to perform to be able to get your kids out of quarantine, doctors stopped seeing them last year on certain things. You could not access the health care that the school district wanted, that fancy piece of paper to get them back into school. No, they're not sick. No, let's not. I did not confirm it, but I have been told that CVS in New Holland has stopped testing. If we have to go further, will these families be able to get the what you are demanding to have? Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Diana Boone.
Hi, my name is Diane Boone. I live in East Earl Township, New Holland. In emails and conversation with some of the members of the school board, the term Sunshine Act kept coming up and asking about allowing the public, for the public to have dialogue with the school board, to have a time for honest questions and answers. We have been told numerous times that the Sunshine Act does not allow for such things. Well, let me enlighten you. I've done a lot of research on the Sunshine Act. Yes, we can have a time of question and answers. Pennsylvania Sunshine Act 65PACSS701-716 requires agencies to deliberate and take official action on agency business in an open and public meeting. It requires that meetings have prior notice and that the public can attend, participate, and comment before an agency takes action. Participate. That's a key word. Pennsylvania Sunshine Act 65 PA Section 710.1, public participation. Again, the key word is participation. General rule, except as provided in subsection D, the board, which is you guys, or council of a political subdivision or of an authority created by a political subdivision shall provide a reasonable opportunity at each advertised regular meeting and advertised special meeting for residents of the political subdivision or the authority created by a political subdivision or for taxpayers or the political subdivision or the authority created by a political subdivision or for both us and you, to comment on matters of concern. According to openrecordspa.gov, Sunshine Act website breaks it down like this. There is a difference between public comment, which is what we're doing right now, and the public asking questions and getting answers. It states, can the public ask questions during the comment period? The answer is yes, although the member of the agencies are not required to provide an answer. However, it is a good practice to do so whenever possible. Answering questions can demonstrate a commitment to helping constituents, which would be us, And in many cases, answering questions informally at a public meeting can reduce future requests under the Right to Know law, which will save everybody time and money and heartache. A key phrase in both the Sunshine Act paragraphs, the board and students both to comment on matters of concern, that would be a good practice for the board demonstrating a commitment to helping constituents. Constituents, another word tossed around lately. We the people elected all of you into office. Since all of you were elected into this position of school board directors, do you, the members of the Elanco School Board, remember your oaths? If not, let me refresh your memory. 24 PA Statute 3-321, Oath of Office, states, all persons elected or appointed as school board directors shall serve without pay except as hereinafter provided. Before entering upon the duties of their oath, each shall take and the subscribe following an oath affirmation, which may be administered by one or qualified administration. The oath states, I do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this Commonwealth, and I will discharge the duties to my office with fidelity. I'm reading fast because I know I only got a little bit of time. Ask yourself this, fidelity. Was taking my oath a formality, something that you do as part of the job, or did you all take it seriously when you uttered the words from your mouth? One of the key words in that oath is fidelity. Fidelity. As an elected sworn official of the board, you are committed to upholding not only both the constitutions, but also to adhere to a code of ethics. We, the people, are questioning if you really understand your obligations to the people in the community who elected you into office. And you swore an oath of office according to the policy 910. I looked this up. There's actually such a thing as a code of ethics for the Pennsylvania school board members. It states the following, and I highlighted a couple. As members of the local school board education, representing all citizens of my school district, I recognize that my fellow citizens have entrusted me, which is you guys, with the educational development of the children and youth of this community, that my fellow board members and I must take initiative to helping all the people of this community to have the facts all the time about their schools to the end, and that they'll readily provide the finest possible school program, school staff, and school facilities. That you must never neglect your personal obligation to the community nor surrender these responsibilities to any other person, group, or organization, and that you have the obligation to the nation and can remain strong and free, not only to the public schools, but the United States of America, to be kept free and strong. Is that my time? All right. Just real quick, can we talk about making these changes? I had a conversation with Dr. Larkin about making changes where we can actually have a communication where we can do a Q&A. Where we ask you guys questions and you guys shoot us back some answers. I also talked to Mr. Wetzel about having a public forum where we can have a community output, where you guys sit and we ask you questions, and we have some dialogue, because guess what? Having us stand up here and give comments and you guys sit there and stare at us and not having a communication, it doesn't do us any good. All we're doing is sharing our heart, but we're not getting any feedback from you guys. And if you guys would be willing to do a public forum where we could do a Q&A, it would be a game changer for the school district, and the community would be more welcome to come here and get involved. Thank you.
Thank you. Steve Hurst.
Thank you for having me this evening and being here to listen. I'm also a parent of three, one in the district, one in the middle school, and two possible future students here at Garden Spot. I'm here to say we will not comply. We will not comply with your face mask coverings requirements in the schools or on the buses. We will say no. Our children will say no. Not this year again. You will not prevent our children from attending in-person learning or playing a sport or riding a bus. You will not stop us parents from doing what is best for our children. Either, or many of us, have had COVID or the vaccine or the ability to get one. We will make our own health decisions. We will not show proof of vaccination status, wear face coverings, or be forced into random screening or contact tracing so that you can feel you are in control of the situation. We are the parents. You are here to represent us. No one should be forced to follow the CDC anti-science mask recommendations. We will not allow you, the CDC, or the government to harm our children anymore. Children are falling behind in school. They are being harmed physically and psychologically. Enough is enough. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have, and I'm sure I'm going to butcher his name, Mike Bojacko. I got the mic part right.
Bojacko.
Okay. Sorry. I apologize.
Well, I'm Mike Bojacko. We live in East Earl. We have 5 children and 4 in the district. A lot of information has been up here, but I just want to put our family's opinion. We would like to have a no mask going back to school. A lot of kids in the, community are actually excited to go back, hoping that there's not going to be masks and all those mandates back in there. So that's just one of the things is, that's one of our requests to the board. I'm not sure if that's, that's in place or not, if you guys decided that. Also, this is one thing, like, what will happen next leading up to it would be vaccination, requirement, passport vaccination, all that stuff. So that's just what I have to say. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And then Carter, you need the microphone lowered there for him?
Hello, my name is Carter Bojacko, and I am a student of Brecknock Elementary, and I am here to talk about the regulations and to give you suggestions for my personal, for me personally, I would not want to wear a mask, and I would have all those regulations, and I would not want to wear a mask and have all these regulations in school. I think it should be optional to wear a mask. There is probably parents that want their children to wear a mask. We all have our rights to have a mask or not. What I suggest is keep the mask optional because parents will pull their kids out of public school systems and school will lose funding from the Senate, from the state. I don't think we need to follow CDC guidelines. We all have our rights.
Thank you, Carter. What grade are you going into, Carter?
Sixth
grade. You did a fine job tonight.
Thank you.
Yep. Brian Glick.
It's actually almost my...
There you go. There you go. That works, too.
Good evening, board. And Dr. Hollister, I'd like to pray for you all, if you would allow me to. Dear Lord, we thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you for all the people who have come out tonight and voiced their opinions to the school board. Lord, I thank you that we have the freedoms in this country to do things like this and never let us take that for granted. Lord, I want to thank you for Dr. Hollister and the many hours he has put in and his team to getting the school year ready. Lord, I also want to thank our school board, duly elected school board members who have sacrificed their time away from their families and their spouses to be here to make decisions for not only this school but our community. Lord, I thank you that you have called them for such a time as this. Lord, I pray that you would give them the wisdom and give them the clarity and discernment to do what is right for our community, not only this school, but all of our families in our community. I thank you that they are here tonight, Lord, and I thank you for the fellowship we have here. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here and to pray for this school board. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brian. There's two more individuals that wanted the opportunity to speak if they decided. As Paula, would she like to speak?
Do I have to move this up? Maybe. You can hear
Jeff's,
me okay,
Jeff's
right?
Coming. Jeff's. Yeah, she'll hold Justin for you.
Thanks, Jeff.
There you go.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, you're fine.
Okay. I don't want to really put my mouth directly on the microphone. Thank you all for the opportunity to speak. Dr. Hollister, I know you're there. I wish you well. Hoping you're doing well.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome. So I actually have a few comments. One is going to be about the search for a new superintendent. I'm just going to make a brief comment on the critical race theory, and then the point on mask. As far as the superintendent is concerned, I guess I'd like to know what the criteria is that you're looking for. Do you guys make that public knowledge for the qualifications, kind of what's included in that? And the reason I'm asking that is, Dr. Hollister, I'm sure you can contend this, that I've challenged you on a couple of things. We've had a couple behind closed door meetings, and I think that in all of those challenges, you've always kept multiple, I'm just going to say this, students of color kind of in the forefront, and you've always been open to have those conversations. So from my perspective as a parent in the school district, I think that's important. So Dr. Hollister, I commend you. And I thank you. I appreciate all that you've done for the school district, and I'm publicly saying that, so I want everybody to hear that. I thank you, so thank you.
Mrs. Matter, thank you. Yes, I do recall some of those conversations. We always challenge each other, but it was always respectful. So yeah, I appreciate that. And I'll just jump in for the benefit of all. If you go with the IU service, one of the things that they do is they will survey all the different groups, constituency groups, internal, external, and that will help build a profile for what you're talking about. And I would suggest that. I mean, if you think about it, this district hasn't really hired a superintendent in 15 years. Tom Wetzel is probably the only board member who was around when I was hired.
Four of them. This will be my fourth.
Yeah, I was hired as the assistant superintendent, but it was known and advertised at that time that I would go to the superintendency. The superintendent was only planning to go a couple of years, and that was all part of the plan. So really, the district hasn't hired a superintendent in 15 years. So it really is an opportunity. Superintendent searches are much more sophisticated and comprehensive than they used to be. So I think to your point, Mrs. Matters, the IU would help facilitate and gather that sort of those opinions from folks. And that's why I am recommending that we use the service. Thanks.
You're welcome. So the other point to that is, I just want to make it known to the public, I know that you're just looking at me, you know nothing about me. Some of you in the audience know me. I think our family has a very unique perspective. I'm coming from a biracial couple. My husband is Caucasian, obviously. I'm actually mixed. So in our family, you know, sitting around the table, there's multiple perspectives that are coming to play. And I know that I've had conversations with some of the folks here on the school board. And I think some of the people on the school board know some of my points and where I'm standing from. And we've had very candid conversations. So I guess from the superintendent perspective, again, I just want to emphasize that we really expand that search, open it up, make sure that we're looking at everything and not just looking at, you know, their credentials. Ask the tough questions, okay? Because this school, this district, while this room doesn't comprise the breakdown of this school district, this school district, I guess some people may not realize, we are very characteristic of actually McCaskey. We resemble them quite a bit, and I don't think people know the demographics. And what I'm talking about, that I'm saying in terms of the low income, it doesn't have to be just one race. I'm looking at socioeconomic, you know, financial impact, race. So everybody needs to understand that, and we need a superintendent that understands that from top to bottom. So there's my point in that. As far as the critical race theory is concerned, that is at the collegiate level, and I want everybody to understand the school board has definitely said that's not a part of it. But what I want to make the emphasis is that there is a distinct difference between critical race theory and education on multiple people's background. There's a difference. I don't want people to remove the background and history of all people. I'm not just talking about people that look like myself. I'm talking about everybody. So I want there to be that knowledge for our teachers across the school board that there's an understanding and there's an education made to the students that they're teaching that there is a difference. So let's not lose sight of that. And then lastly, as far as the masks are concerned, I really do believe it's a personal choice, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay, thank you. Tony?
Hi, I'm Tony Bellini from Denver. I prepared nothing. I wasn't sure if I even wanted to speak. I think that one of the speakers recently, I don't want to name names, made a great point just recently about uplifting different groups. whether it's kids with disabilities, people of different races, religions, ethnic backgrounds, socioeconomic backgrounds. And I agree that critical race theory was a mind exercise for people in law school to look at the world from a different point of view. I mean, that's how it was, what it was written for. I think the big difference between, you know, showing all sides of history, which I think is very important, and uplifting people of all groups, and the part of critical race theory that we're all scared of being taught to children is the part, not the part where we're saying how great and how much, how many wonderful things all the groups in this country have done, but the part where they start to talk about what groups are born evil, born racist, born oppressors. So I would agree, the more we can do to teach about all groups equally, good, bad, indifferent, even people who have done evil in this country, they probably didn't do evil necessarily because of what group they belong to. There's evil and good in the world. So I thought that was a great point, and I just think that we need to be very careful that our teachers aren't teaching other children that they were born inherently something. Okay, and as far as masking, first of all, I have a daughter in this school district who was almost a victim of that increased suicide rate that we've seen with the, you know, kids who already have social anxiety, who have been masked and who have been pushed into a corner, who already had a hard time making friends. We've had a 51% increase in female teenage suicides since this has started. She spent time in Philhaven. She's been on suicide watch. She's harmed herself. That's the personal side. Now the science side. You know, politicians, scientists themselves sometimes have opinions, but the science. In April, the NIH themselves published a peer-reviewed study, that there was no appreciable relation between mask wearing and infection rate. Interestingly enough, the next day, the CDC published a second peer-reviewed study showing no appreciable give me a second. I didn't have anything prepared.
Connection.
No appreciable a correlation between mask wearing and infection rate. Then the Fauci emails came out, heavily redacted, but enough of them came out to show that he told people by email, don't bother wearing a mask. It may stop a gross droplet or two, but the virus and the aerosols carrying it are way too small to be stopped by the mask. Okay? We think about, we have a hard time grasping things that are really big, like a $21 trillion debt, or things that are really tiny, right? So we don't realize that each thread in a cloth mask is made out of a bunch of fibers. The space between, not the threads, the space between the fibers in a thread are between tens and hundreds of times larger than the aerosol droplets and the virus. The space between the threads themselves are comparable to an 8-lane highway and a car. We have a hard time picturing that if we put this in a microscope, we'd be watching mosquitoes flying through a chain link fence. So we can follow politicians, we can follow alphabet agencies, we can follow whoever we, you know, whoever's opinions we want to follow, or we can follow the science. I say we follow the science.
Thank you, Tony. Is there anyone else that didn't fill out a card but would like to address the board here tonight? You can come forward. State your name.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Maybe I passed it by. Not intentionally.
I won't send it by the mail next time.
My fault. I'm bad.
No, thank you. Just a parent of, my name is Jeremy Weaver, side of here in New Holland, and as a parent of four, three in elementary and one in middle school this year, I just want to add my voice to those asking for a minimal amount or no mask wearing for whatever we can do as a district to prevent our kids from doing that for the many reasons that were listed, but just wanted to hear my support for that with my kids that are here in the district.
You're really, really
fast.
Really getting the rope pulled on you.
And then I also just want to thank you guys for all you do over the past 3, 4, whatever years. You guys put so much time and invest so much of your hearts into our kids, into our district. And I really want to thank you and let you know how much I appreciate you doing that. And I know that you, through all this stuff, you guys really do care, and I thank you for that.
Okay, thank you, Jeremy, and sorry about the mix-up there. Getting back to my original question, is there anybody that didn't fill out a card would like to address the board tonight? All right, I want to thank everybody for... one online. Boy, I'm...
We have one comment that was submitted online from Ashley Stolzfus at 160 Skyline Drive, New Holland, PA, 17557. Good evening. Thank you for your service to our community and school. Question for you all. Do you know when your child is having a good day, is extra tired, or a little stress? If I spent a day with your child, I couldn't pick up on these little things because I do not know your child, nor do you know mine. We as parents are given the job of raising our children and are their best advocates. The government was put in place to govern the people, not raise our children. It is August of 2021, cases are down, and we are seeing that children are not the prime target for the virus. We have family at a private school, and they did not socially distance and did not mask. Their attendance for this past year was higher than it has been in the past 3 years. Something is not adding up. If COVID is as bad as they say, this should not be the case. We are robbing our children of a normal school year. A case study involving 20,000 students was done in Germany of students wearing masks, 68 of the students had some kind of physical or psychological issue. 53 of them had headaches, 50 had trouble concentrating, 37% increased drowsiness, 42% malaise, 1/3 had shortness of breath, and 1/4 dizziness. My child struggles with mild asthma, and she gets belly aches and struggles to breathe while wearing a mask. These statistics should show us that mask is causing other issues that are more troublesome. I am somewhat of a germaphobe, and seeing someone touch their mask while out and about grosses me out. I think of all those germs he is spreading. Our children are for sure touching their mask all the time. How many more germs are we actually spreading with a mask? A group in Florida did a study on the bacteria on a mask that was worn for 5 to 8 hours. The analysis detected 11 alarmingly dangerous pathogens, including pneumonia, tuberculosis, meningitis, Lyme, diphtheria, to name a few. Following CDC's guidelines this spring, my children were required to mask up during outdoor soccer games. This felt like child abuse to me. Can we stand up for our children? If you are a teacher and want a mask, okay. If you are a parent and want your child to wear a mask, okay. If myself as a parent chose not to mask my children, okay. Freedom of choice is what our country has been founded on. I'm asking that the mask mandate be lifted for our school and that parents choose what is best for their child. I'm asking for a normal school year where our children can live, learn, thrive. The government has no place in our family decisions. Thank you for your time and service to the next generation.
Okay. Thank you, Justin. I have a question for Dr. Larkin. While I know there's a lot of young children here, I don't know whether they're going to stick it out to the end of the meeting tonight. Perhaps you'd like to tell them what our mask policy is going into the school year. And there was a question asked tonight. I never thought about where will the kids be eating lunch in the elementary schools. Maybe you don't know the answer to that either.
I do know some of those answers.
Okay.
If you look at if you move down to the program committee, the ARP-ESSER revision, we have been listening to what we've got from the community as well as in discussions with some board members. And so we were asked to revise our masking policy. If you can go down to page 4. And what we did was we looked at, we talked with our solicitor and got information as well as taking the information that we had gotten from community members who called us and also from the board members. And so what our solicitor recommended and the way we're saying it is that we will follow CDC and Department of Health recommendations to the extent practicable as to the use of masks and the correct wearing of masks in all district properties. At this point, we've been told that public school buses are public transportation and the government requires us.
All right, let's close it down here and give her the chance to speak.
That is what we've been told by Department of Health, by the CDC, and by our solicitor supporting that. So at this point, what we would be saying is that the district will require masks on school buses due to the inability to layer mitigating strategies on the bus, such as social distancing. However, the district will make masks optional in school buildings due to our ability to layer mitigating strategies in the classroom and hallways, such as cohorting. We'll continue to work with local county agencies and health systems to monitor the positivity levels in the county and to help us determine any need to change mask wearing in our health and safety plan. That is where we're falling at this point, and based on our hearing clearly from our stakeholders and community members that they want the optional portion for masks. So we feel very strongly that we can do mitigating strategies within the buildings to help eliminate that. We definitely will support parents and teachers and administrators, anyone who wants to wear a mask. We will make sure that they are not bullied any more than we will make sure that people who choose not to wear masks are not bullied. That's our most important piece right now, to say that we want everybody to be returning to school, and we will do our best to make it as healthy an environment as we can. As far as lunches at the elementary, I'm looking over at Heather. We're doing a mix of in the classroom and also in the cafeteria. That actually is the decision made based on the positive feedback that we got not only from learners but also from the adults that worked with the kids. The monitors in the cafeteria, when they were in the classrooms, really developed a relationship with the children, and they felt that it was a better environment for them having a contact adult. So one of the things that the principal said is that they'd like to do a blend. They'll have kids eating in the classrooms, and then there'll be times where they'll have special occasions where they're eating in the cafeteria. And that's my understanding. Heather, is there anything to add to that?
I think how hard we worked for so many years to get that satisfaction of kids up in those playground areas and cafeteria spaces. And for reasons beyond our control, when we went to those small group areas this fall immediately, it just so happened it was time to survey the kids, and we were getting, 80% satisfaction of those small group areas. It's small group areas, but it looks different this year. As Dr. Larkin said, just there was a mixture and a blend of opportunities for dining areas in the classroom, dining areas in the cafeteria, dining areas in the classroom, which I think I feel safe in saying, which are not 6 feet apart, like sitting with your friends, in that small area. So it's just that blending. I think it's going to look a little different at each building based upon needs and kids and that kind of thing, but we really just want our kids to be satisfied, feel peaceful in that eating area. They're having the same monitor each day. Our monitors are like, I love my kids. Our kids are like, I love when, so-and-so comes in and types in there. It's just, it's a different connection. And you know, the best that we could all describe it is, like, we all, most of us, find tremendous satisfaction in some of our small coffee shops where you sit in that cafe style in a small group. So that's where it came from, was just that lunchtime here.
So for some clarification, maybe I don't know who to speak to it, but are you saying that the plan for eating in the elementary schools has nothing to do with COVID?
No.
Okay.
No.
I mean, when we made this plan, I can honestly say, like, I really thought it would be all this stuff. So it's just our response to discipline. We had zero office referrals last year in our large group areas, which I think all of us, even as adults, can think back as those are challenging spots, those big groups where you just inevitably have less enrolls. So no.
Okay.
This was definitely something that was we saw as a plus that came out of a lot of issues last year. You know, they were very excited about it.
Like, we're envisioning days too where, like, grade levels eat at the same time. So maybe there's a day that the whole grade level works together and you get to, like, your classroom where you eat your lunch. So, but yeah, this was all conversation last year when I thought we were silly me.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Larkin. I guess we'll get into more discussion later then with the other things involved there.
Okay.
Are we going to come back to that for questions, comments, again, as far as to that, or are we doing that now?
No, when we get to the program.
Or we can do it now if you want to. All right,
while we're on it, we'll just hop it around here. Keith, you'll just have to...
I'm talking about the health and safety plan, as far as questions to that specifically, if we're going to do that now, or are we going to wait until after Keith goes through his property services and we're going to come back to programs?
We can switch it up.
Switch it up.
So I have a couple of comments, I guess, to the health and safety plan as it is right now with the revision.
Mm-hmm.
Just going through it from top to bottom, I guess, just for sake of my comments and then whoever else wants to. I don't think that I want to see the buses in there. I don't agree with our solicitor. I don't agree with the CDC, and we can make our own decisions. So I think we need to take that out. It's our buses. Otherwise, I think what we're saying, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, we have zero control over those buses and what happens on them. That's the government and the public's role, or is that ours? So I think we need to take that out. The other part would be going down to section E, mm-hmm. which is contact tracing. I had brought this up back in May when school was still happening. I would like to see that completely taken out, especially due to the fact... Hold on. I appreciate it, but especially due to the fact that my child's information was leaked due to a governmental outsourced agency, that information was leaked. This is something that should not be in there anymore. It needs to be taken out, and I will vote no to this if that especially is not taken out. That one bothers me, and I think we have to do something with F, with his diagnostic stuff, and give a little bit more clarification on what we're looking for. I'm not saying that we don't need to quarantine those who have COVID, mm-hmm. but if we don't, I remember multiple emails, conversations that we had, and we went round and round and round as a board asking the administration, well, why did this group get quarantined? Who's on? Who's off? I mean, you guys did an amazing job of keeping track of it, but again, this is not really, I think, doing any good to not creating another problem going forward into this school year without specifics as to what is a doctor's note, what's tests out there with all these hundreds of tests that who knows that you can even trust them anyway, that are out there, what symptoms? Because when I look at a symptom list, everything from me sneezing right now would be a symptom if I go home, yeah. right? So I think those specific areas we really need to do something with to make sure that we are clear on what we are doing as a district.
Let's keep it down.
Just as a point of information for everyone, couple things. It's Dr. Hollister again. Certainly, this is open for discussion. That's why we have it on the agenda and have it on action for next week. And my guess is it'll continue to evolve even as we go through the year, depending on what's happening. But as a point of information, Mr. Conway, if you would like to see changes to this plan, my recommendation to you and the board would be to make motions for each piece that you would wish to see changed. That way we can make the, like, fine tune it the best way. What I'd hate to say, see, is it all or nothing. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I think there are elements that we really do need to approve. So, my recommendation is, after discussion, if you want to make motions on the separate pieces, I would recommend you proceed that way, so that it's not an all or nothing scenario. And again, we have time. We still have time to garner feedback, to the points made earlier. You know, we had talked about a survey at the beginning of our July already, but things are changing so fast that we didn't want to mislead people by putting a survey out that would be prejudicial. So we can still do a survey. We have a survey ready to go. If the board wishes to have some data for next week, we can do that this week. Although I think I don't know that we would find any surprises from a survey. It seems pretty clear that the community, you know, doesn't wish to see masks. But again, that's a point we can discuss. If the board wants us to conduct a survey, we can do that. But again, back to the original point, if there's adjustments to the plan that are being sought, I would make them separate pieces. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hollister. Anybody else like to comment on what?
I have a question about, more about busing. And I guess more for the admins to clarify. Don't we have all of our busing outsourced to Brightville?
I was going to say that.
So is it, how does that, I guess we didn't know a pandemic was coming. Clarify how that would work, because those would be the Brightville, they're not our employees that are driving the bus, and they're not our buses.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where I'm wondering where we
yeah,
have.
So wouldn't that make it?
All we do is approve the bus drivers.
Right.
Yeah, but wouldn't that make it their decision?
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
It's their decision, then, wouldn't it be? And then I guess my other thought was, busing, okay, it is really hard up here. I know you guys can understand, but like back there, we can hear you. It really echoes up when everyone's talking. It's really hard to hear. My take on that one is, busing is, going to school is a requirement. Busing is not necessarily a requirement. So busing is optional, correct? Parents are free to drive, walk, bike their kids to school. And I'm asking that because not every school has that option. We have the option, though, that every parent here can bring their kids to school however they please, right, if they don't like the busing situation?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Yes. What I'll do is check again with our solicitor, make sure the solicitor understands that it's with that we contract for our busing, and see if that makes a difference as to whether or not they feel
would be
public transportation.
Can we check with Brightville? I mean, if they're going to say their driver's required, or they're not going to transport people that aren't wearing it, like, obviously it's a moot point. You know, I think we need their feedback as well. If there's a, we could give two rips, like, that's feedback I think we need to know.
Okay. Keith's writing it down. He'll call him tomorrow.
Yeah. So with that, then, if there weren't any comments specifically, then I would move and make a motion that letter E, contact tracing, be completely removed.
So real quick, I'm not sure how we should do this. Should we do a motion to individually vote on each component, or are we going to just do that now, just jump around?
No, we don't. Just to make sure we're not voting on this
correct
this week. Okay.
But just the changes.
Change whatever sections. That's the first,
My suggestion would be, if we're going to be making or possibly voting on each section, I would like to see it clarified and written that we know what we're voting on, written down before next week.
Correct.
And rather than going through, jumping around tonight and voting on it, you know, in the next day or so, get something out there that with clarity.
What Mr. Conner is proposing is just
one at a time.
Yeah, so to clarify, I'll say I'll move and make a motion to modify letter E by completely removing it so that we can fully vote on it next week. That would be my first motion.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Been properly moved and seconded. Open to further discussion.
Yes, I am still a little confused. We're removing it to fully vote on it? I'm not.
No, so next... what it would be removing it so that it's not there next week when we do vote on the health and safety plan.
Oh, okay.
Right? So we're not voting on the health and safety plan this week, from my understanding.
Correct.
We're voting on it next week.
Correct.
My motion is just to remove that so that when it comes back to us fixed or modified or whatever you want to say, then we would have a full one that's there.
Okay. So basically we're voting on, like, adjusting it.
And
to bring some clarification, I think there were some comments made earlier tonight. There was some misinformation out there that I even heard from some people that we had voted and approved this in a previous meeting. That never happened. So I just want to make sure that was clear. We had to get something on the books that we can move forward. And then we always intended, and we vocalized that in the meeting, is that these were going to be adjusted and changed as we went along.
Gary, and I think I do think we did vote on it. However, just on the 21st. However, what I would like to say publicly to that, because I did think about that, is when we did vote on this, so this is definitely for the public here, when we voted on this, the CDC's guidelines were not masks, right? So the impression that we had at that point in time in June was no masks are needed, we're good to go, we can do whatever we want. And so the change of that in the last 3 weeks, whatever it was that they came out with this, is why we had to then come to this specific time again to adjust based on new information now that's out there. So, again, to really clarify why, but anyway, the motions that's out there.
There's no call to order.
All right, so maybe this might be my ignorance in this whole thing, but like the contact tracing, sorry, it's been a long day. So that's what we're talking about, like going back and seeing who's in contact with the person and quarantining people based on that?
Correct.
Okay. But are you saying that we shouldn't, like, even notify them, or just saying that we shouldn't quarantine?
It's not our responsibility is what I'm saying, yes. And I don't think that we should do it, because I think the information that gets out there from PDE, DOH, and other organizations, that we have no idea where that information is going. Mm-hmm. We don't even know where my daughter's name went.
Yeah.
I mean, they have no clue what information even was taken.
I can ask a clarifying question. When you had mentioned this several months ago with your family member, I thought I heard you say you were opposed to them giving the information to a public health network, and that's where your red flag was. What I'm hearing you saying tonight is slightly different. You're saying just don't do any of it, even if we were to do it internally, essentially, meaning keep it in the district. Would you still be opposed to that?
I don't know that I would be opposed to that as much, just because I think that does help even mitigate the potential for others. But then,
your motion still to strike the whole thing.
Correct.
Can I jump in and say, is it possible to write it both ways so that we can look at that and once again give you options?
I'll go ahead. I would. That's fine. I think that with that, again, however we want to discuss a survey, I think that needs to be put out on that survey, and we need to get that survey out so we know what that looks like. Again, I might be okay with that, but other families may not be internally. I mean, I understand the internal part of that, and I think that there is value to that so that we can mitigate any extra people of getting COVID, right? Of just saying, hey, you know what? Your son was by my son, and he has COVID now, just so that you know. Okay, maybe some parents would say, I'm going to keep him home for 2 days just in case. Other parents may say, no, big deal. But, yeah, I mean, I think that would definitely be something we need to then put on that survey for sure.
Okay. I mean, my concern is, you know, the whole HIPAA thing. Like, I just brought my mom to the doctor today, and, like, I had to fill out forms for her saying, you know, like, can I leave a message on your voicemail? Can I talk to somebody else? But it's like, it feels like we're kind of going against that. Like, we feel like we could just tell anybody and everybody that's nearby that this happened. You know, like it said, you know, like you had to list the people that you can contact, you know, what you can tell them, when you can tell them, if you can leave it on a voicemail. And it's like, that's what HIPAA is, to protect your privacy. And it seems like this might fall out.
I believe HIPAA was
one of the things that does happen. We do not divulge names of who your child was in contact with?
No, that's not true.
That's not true.
From your perspective, as far as what you maybe have told people not to do, that's clearly, though, not true. I mean, it absolutely, without a doubt, in my mind, by experience of myself and others around me, is not true. Names, everybody, it's all over the place.
Well, I can just say that from my perspective, when I have done contact tracing and when I know Mrs. Martin's done it, and the nurses, we do not give names to people of who they were in contact with. Now, ends up, I can also tell you that I've had parents tell me, oh, we already know such and such because they put it on Facebook that they have COVID.
Yeah.
So, you know. But as far as HIPAA, we haven't violated it because we're following the rules and we are not giving out names.
And specifically, I would imagine, just to clarify this, just so we have not given out names to parents, but we have given names out to the government agency,
that
correct?
Is correct.
Okay, and that's the difference from what was when it came to under governor's laws that now are no longer in existence because of executive whatever stupid thing that he had, and versus now. So that's why, yes, okay, just to be clear.
So what was the motion?
You want to restate it, Justin?
Well, before he says Brian, do you want to adjust it to?
Is there a way to get basically the options? I mean, it's more of a now than motion of saying let's either remove or come with an option to Section E.
Well, how can you really put an option in there? It seems like you either do it or you don't.
Well, one is outsourced essentially, and one is internal versus
external.
Okay,
one is saying that we're not going to report anything to the government. The other one is saying that we will keep it all internal.
Keep it all internal.
Is that what you're saying?
Okay.
Yeah.
So could it be worded to just say that it'll be kept internal? The district?
So, Mr. Connery.
I just want to clarify. We talked about putting this. I think it does need to go on the survey. I mean, clearly, that's not the vibe in this room, but we do get emails and phone calls from parents with kids with compromised immune systems, you know, other types of syndromes and types of things where they're very concerned. So I think we do need to give that option to the community. Like, there is going to be a chunk of people who say, I would like to know when my kid was exposed because they have A, B, C, or D health problems.
I just have a problem throwing this together in a matter of a few minutes here. I personally would like to see different options going into next week's meeting rather than try to tweak something here in a matter of minutes. I mean, you know, sometimes you get something not quite the way you like it, and that's my viewpoint over the years. That it'd be better just to put something together for next week's meeting, and then see where we're at, and then do an up and down, whatever you want to have the different options or whatever. But that's my opinion.
So is this something we should have a subcommittee for?
I don't care. I mean, whatever it takes to get it right, because we got to get it right. that's my opinion. You're not going to be like chasing your tail here tonight.
And go through the whole thing rather than motion to motion of each letter.
Dr. Hollister, what's your opinion? I personally think it'd be better just to do that. Get a subcommittee of the board together to look over it before next week's meeting, and come back with a recommendation to the board.
Yeah.
You want a subcommittee to adjust the plan, or do you want a subcommittee to do the survey, or two separate things?
Two separate things.
Yeah, my recommendation would be to do the survey to have the data regardless. But if the board wants to, you know, you got to be careful. It can only be three.
Correct.
Subcommittee together to create the plan that you will vote on, that makes sense to me, assuming it can be done by Monday.
That
way we get it right. It gets clarity.
Yeah, I agree, because when you do things on the fly, Tom, you're absolutely
it gets a little crazy.
No, we've all known that. So So Mr. Conroy would have to withdraw his motion, and then Tom, Mr. Wentzel, you would need to assign three members of the board to sort of finalize the plan, so to speak, and then take that plan to the board for a vote next week.
Correct. Okay.
Yep. With that, that's with what that I said, then yes, I will rescind that motion.
All right. Thank you.
That you appoint three people.
And I think it's safe to say you would like to be on that committee.
Absolutely.
that's one certainty. I knew that. Would any of the others?
Mr. Wentzel, there's a policy that says anyone whose last name begins with a C can't be on subcommittee.
Bob, we're going to miss you, man.
I know.
You got to keep it light a little bit. You know, it's not the,
obviously, Mr. Conroy has spent a lot of time with it. He'd be a good choice.
I knew you'd want to be. Is there any other of the board members that would like to sit on this committee? And it's free this week.
I'll do it.
Okay, Gary? I'll sit on it also if there's nobody else. Jackie, would you like to be on it?
I
can sit on it. I don't have
enough committees, I think.
I can sit on it, but I wouldn't have a vote. All right, then you got the committee there, Justin? And we just have to pick a night then. We can do that later tonight, pick a night that would work or late afternoon or whatever.
Yep, that's fine.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Awesome.
I'll sit on the committee as well.
Okay, that works too. The more the merrier.
All right. Actually, that ends my program report.
Well, we accomplished something. All right, Keith, we bounce back.
Sorry, real quick. We didn't decide if we're going to send out the survey or not for sure. And is that, are we doing that later or is that now?
I was for a survey. Bob, what was your understanding?
I was under the impression that we would have a survey going out tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
I would like to just if we can make an edit to that survey about the contact tracing to be internal versus external or none. That would be my addition.
I have that noted as one of the new questions that
appreciate
we'll have.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. That was a good discussion.
Yeah. All right, Keith.
Okay, thank you. We have two action items for next Monday night. These two typically are this time of year in August. The first one is the school board will approve the bus drivers, both public and non-public, as well as the bus assistants for the 2021-22 school year. We will have that list finalized and included with the agenda for approval next Monday. The next action item is the approval to authorize me to sign the non-public transportation contracts. These would be the transportation contracts that we have with the schools like Hinkletown Mennonite, Gaiman's, those schools that we do not provide transportation for. We do contract with them, and we do pay them an amount per student per day. And for this year, the increase in the cost index is 1.4%, so that amount will be incorporated within the cost per student from the previous year. And the only other changes would be the number of students, up or down, would be the change.
Question then, if we're paying for that non-public transportation for the private schools, then we're breaking the law because they're not wearing masks.
That's a good point.
So we cannot pay that money unless we make them wear a mask if we're going to have the same thing for our own students.
That's true.
Which private schools aren't making the kids wear masks on the buses? I thought they all were in the state.
I can't answer that.
I don't think there's any in this area. I don't know. Is there a school in Lancaster County that's private that's letting kids get on the buses without masks? Like, I don't know
the answer to that.
A lot of them. Yeah, I come past Hinkletown.
Hinkletown has their own buses, though, right? Like, they're not.
Hinkletown has their own buses.
The ones that come from us, though, I think they all have to. Yeah. I thought they did. I thought they did on the bus. That's why a lot of parents
were double check that
them.
As well.
Yeah, check into
are.
That. Well, I know Hinkle. Yeah, but Hinkletown has their own fleet. Buses, like, yes. they're within their own school. Yeah. They're not like some of the other. And I think there's a few others like that.
All right.
Okay. Those were my two action items for next week. The next information item, just wanted to provide a brief update on the track. It's moving along, and we have the timeline. The turf will be completed by the 11th at the factory. It will be shipped to us on Friday, and we should have it on site as soon as Monday. At that time, they will have a crew that will be available. They are actually moving us ahead of some other schools and or universities to get our project done within the time frame that we've asked them to. So the other item that I did want to mention as well is the track. Even though we had to provide an adjustment to the track, had to dig out more than they initially anticipated with the change order, they have put the asphalt down on the timeline as they originally bid, and you'll see that that was done last Monday. There is a 28-day cure time before they can put the top layer on, so that is moving along as well. We did want to update the board. This was not part of the project, but we're looking at replacing the perimeter fence as well. We were hoping to do that in the near future, but unfortunately with the cost of the steel has gone up 35 to 40%, the cost to do that would have been in excess of $100,000. So we'd like to actually do it in phases in hopes that the cost of steel will be coming back down. The most pressing area of the fence is along Grandview Drive. If you look at that, you'll see how the fence is not straight. It bends in, it bends out. And with the hill that we've done the project, we did do some work to that hill under the project. We do have some concerns on that fence. So we'd like to move ahead with that one. It'll be done under state contract. It's around just over $20,000 to do that. It'll match the fence on the interior. And then we will have some excavating costs as well. So that will be forthcoming. You'll see that happening. Unfortunately, the lead time is about 10 weeks. So it will not be done until, you know, later in the fall. But we will move on that, and then we'll move on the rest of the fence as the prices come down. So that's all I have.
And we have a contractor who will do it for state contract price?
That's correct, yes.
Great. Excellent.
Okay. Any other questions for Keith?
I'd just like to make a comment that me, Keith, and Lars, and Neil walked the facility today and everything. And, yeah, I mean, the fence is bad and eroding and, pretty nasty. So, but everything is really coming along great. Yeah. Just a visual on what I saw from inside and out. It was really good.
Great. And thank you for your time, taking the time to walk around with us.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to management. No items under management?
Yep, thanks, Mr. Wenzel. No items. Just one comment, because Mr. Conroy did mention Mr. White and Mr. Walsh. I'm very pleased with the transition. Neil has really done the district a solid by giving a nice long run here and time to train up Lars, and they're doing well. Mr. Ramsey is supervising that process in the midst of some challenging projects and a challenging time. So I do really appreciate once again, Neil Walsh's commitment to the district and what he's doing for us and in the transition. So thanks to Neil. That's all I have, and I have no announcements. Thank you.
All right, thank you. I have one announcement. We'll have a need for executive session to deal with a personnel issue immediately following when we can get over to the room. Are there any other announcements for the good tonight?
Yes, I have a couple. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to be here last month. Though I was enjoying myself in a canoe in the Adirondack Mountains, so that was fun. But I appreciated the follow-up, Dr. Larkin, that you gave when it came specifically to the questions I had regarding brain pop and things like that. I know that you had mentioned that you guys were putting together a plan to kind of address how to evaluate systems and programs that do change over time that we may not be aware of. And I wanted to at least make mention publicly, I think these plans are pretty much in process now. If we were able to make sure that we're communicating this correctly to our teachers specifically, and I know that I emailed you at least these just to say, policy 119 on current events, policy 107 for plans, 109 for resource materials, 111 for lesson plans, and 107, the adoption of plans, planned instruction. Specifically, the current events, in the current events policy, it does say the four specific guidelines is, one is related to course instructional goals and the student's level of maturity. I highlight that section, the student's level of maturity. Number two is does not tend to indoctrinate or persuade students to a particular point of view. Number three, encourages balanced presentations and open-mindedness. And number four, is conducted in a spirit of scholarly inquiry. Though I really do appreciate that you're looking into those and what we can put into place that would be a little bit more stringent on that, I still would contend that BrainPop specifically goes against this policy and needs to be suspended from here on until we know anything else about it. And so therefore, I again move that we suspend the use of BrainPop for the 2021 and 2022 year.
Been properly moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Been seconded. Is there any further discussion?
Could we make BrainPop optional if parents sign off on it and a teacher wants to use it as a resource? Could we make that a situation? And if a parent says, no, I don't want my child to use it, I just throwing that out there.
I think that's not that, already. That is already.
That is in place. What happens is, actually, it's a COPA list at this point that has all the digital resources that we use. Parents have to sign that when they get on the parent portal. Now, part of that issue is that last year we had approximately 54% of our parents update their information. So we're not positive that they saw, obviously they didn't see the list and didn't sign off on it. We have added that to the curriculum and instruction page on our website to update that, once again, based on my discussion with Mrs. Boone. We can, and parents are supposed to let us know, meaning when I say let us know, meaning the principals, that they do not want their child doing that, being on that program, and then we provide other options for those learners. So that is in place.
Well, I'll clarify to say, I will clarify to say at least, Jackie, so that you can to understand that more than the, first of all, the indoctrination and the persuasiveness of the videos, but also the level of maturity of the students that have access to, I don't think that BrainPop, with all of the content that's there, should be at the level of mature, because it's not the level of maturity of these kids. I mean, you're talking first, second, third, fourth graders that are being talked about. We just said before, I don't even want to use the word CRT, but we just said before the CRT is a college level, right? College level type of thing. And whether they use the word CRT or not, that is exactly what is in many of those videos that are on those programs. So it is definitely not falling within the policy that we have of 119. That's just one policy.
Could we, though, say that about the whole entire internet? Like, and if we're, no, I'm being honest, if we're following that policy, then we can't use the internet because technically we're the same. I'm just saying, if we're going to go down that road, we're going to censor everything because the internet itself is in the same situation. That's why I thought, could each parent have the right, just to, she said it's already in place, to say, no, I don't want my child on that website, or yes, that's okay with our family?
Could we do the inverse and say that the parents actually have to sign off on being able to use it?
That would
be great. It's Chris Malone, Dr. Larkin. It's BrainPop is not built into our curriculum. It's not necessary. It's not structural to what our teachers do, right?
Correct. It's supplemental.
It's supplemental. So I guess the question I have then is, like, could we make it something that parents would actually have to say, I check a box and I approve that my child uses it? In other words, they don't just by default get to use it.
I mean, is that something that the teachers allow the students to do kind of on their own, or do they use it when they're teaching, like, the whole class?
It can be used both ways. Any of those materials can be used both ways.
And again, my concern is, like, I think similar to Brian, some others I mentioned, too, is that a lot of these are very deep, heady topics that are on. They're very, very, very heavy topics that first graders and second graders aren't equipped to handle on their own. I think that's part of the concern that we were hearing from parents is that that was happening, that they were doing this on their own. And so that's my concern.
But if they use it to teach, like, the whole class, and what if, you know, like, I don't want my kid to be a part of it, then what happens?
Unless they've been, unless the teachers have information from the parents saying that they do not want them on that, they would be on, they would be part of that group discussion.
But if, say, I gave that permission, I don't want my child on that, then what would he do when the teacher was teaching that?
There would be another activity assigned by the teacher, maybe in another classroom, you know.
All right, so they have to leave that classroom, go to do something else, leave their friends, leave the, I mean, that's why I think it's, I'm okay with Gary. I think, you know, a good point of like, okay, you have to sign up for it. I would be surprised how many do sign up for something like that. But I do think that the lesson, again, with the policies that I read, you know, even lesson plans, you know, 111, what do the teachers, what are they required for lesson plans? Is something like this as a resource? I know it's a resource, but they have to have lessons plan written out. And so do they know that what these resources are that they're using? And specifically last year when this was brought to my attention, it was the, hey, here are five videos. I mean, there's hundreds of videos that are out there. But here are five that you can pick from. I want you to pick three, if I remember correct. I might be wrong on the numbers a little bit. But here are five, pick three, and then do a small video report or something like that on it. And look, I'll give credit to the kids. Like, I wanted to give you credit, by the way, for standing up. Whether you wrote all that or not yourself, you did an amazing standing up job for courage. But the videos last year also that these kids did on were really good. I mean, they were well-done video productions from the information. But I think it's going down a slippery slope just even having it out there. And I think that YouTube is – correct me if I'm wrong. YouTube is blocked, correct, from the computer usage that they have maybe, or at least in school?
No, they can use YouTube. Okay. It has to be approved by Elanco.
Right, so again, which there is a teacher. Filters for these things to where, I don't know, maybe we need to put a filter on BrainPop and get rid of
that. That is one of the things that the tech that the tech integrators are working with BrainPop and the IU to look at. However, all 22 districts have BrainPop and BrainPop Junior, so yeah. It takes a little work to have that happen.
That's why I would still say that we need to suspend it until next year.
All right, we have a motion on the floor. Justin?
Mr. Conroy made a motion to suspend the use of BrainPop for the 21-22 school year until the 22-23 school year.
Is there any further discussion?
Roll call vote. So then it will automatically go back into place next year?
I was going to say, are we going to be working on, like, the filtering or the
I was going to say, or maybe you could word it into, like, to a time where it can be reevaluated if the filtering system has been.
That's a better word.
Yeah, it needs to be reevaluated.
I'll take that amendment.
Until the filtering evaluations have been finished? By who is it, Dr. Larkin?
What we're going to do is use the tech integrators and they're working with the other tech integrators in the IU, and they're working directly with BrainPop.
Okay.
I mean, it just feels like it should be monitored because YouTube, like you said, YouTube is a lot of the other sites you can't get on because, you know, of the situation of being in school. So I think this should fall in that same category.
All right. Are there any further discussion? All right, we'll vote on the motion as amended. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right, is there any other discussion for tonight? All right, I stated we have an executive session afterwards on personnel. Hearing none, is there a motion to close the meeting?
So moved.
Second. Oh, you want to ask for discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and we'll see you next week.